Guardian Unlimited.
The votes are cast, the results are in, but the outcome is far from clear.
There is one thing on this February night that we do not need the final results to know. Our time has come.
Hello, I'm Matt Wells, and welcome to a special edition of News Desk, brought to you in the immediate aftermath of America's Super Tuesday. In the next 15 minutes or so, we'll tell you what it all means in the race for the White House. We'll hear from the candidates and from our correspondents across the United States. And they were voting in London, too.
It's fun. It's much more fun than in America, where you're just going, you know, to your local place where you know everybody, and it's like a party here.
Half of the US got to choose their candidates in the battle for the Democrat and Republican presidential nominations. But $600 million later, there is still no decisive result. Hillary Clinton for the Democrats and John McCain for the Republicans have made big strides towards winning their party's nominations. But Barack Obama is still firmly in the Democratic race, and Mike Huckabee made big gains in the red states. But Clinton took New York, the state where she's senator, and is projected to have won the delegate-rich prize of California.
It's the ideal inscribed on the base of the Statue of Liberty in this great city that has overlooked our harbor through wars and depression and the dark days of September 11th. The words we all know that give voice to America's embrace. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. A constant reminder that here in America, we face our challenges and we embrace all of our people.
Barack Obama won his home state, Illinois, and with a string of smaller victories and a load of money in the bank, he feels the momentum is with him.
There is one thing on this February night that we do not need the final results to know. Our time has come.
John McCain went into Super Tuesday as the clear Republican frontrunner, but he failed to deliver a knockout blow to either of his rivals, Mitt Romney and Mike Huckabee.
We won primaries in the West, the South, the Midwest, and the Northeast. And although I've never minded the role of the underdog, and have relished as much as anyone come-from-behind wins, tonight, I think we must get used to the idea that we are the Republican Party frontrunner for the nomination.
Our U.S. correspondents Suzanne Goldenberg and Ewan McCaskill are in our Washington office. Suzanne, what's the big story of the night?
Well, I guess the real story here is that Super Tuesday was not the decisive day that we thought it would be, neither for the Republicans or for the Democrats. We've had Hillary Clinton managing to rack up some key wins in states like California, which mean that she's still in contention for the Democratic nomination, even though Barack Obama won more of the states that were up for grabs tonight. On the Republican side, there had been a lot of expectation that John McCain would deliver a knockout blow, but instead he now faces two challengers, Mitt Romney, who is refusing to bow out of the race despite a very poor performance, and Mike Huckabee, who managed to win in southern states and remain in contention.
So you've been following the Democrats specifically, Susie. Let's drill down a bit further into the Democrat side of things. How did the Democrats vote and why?
Well, if you break down the vote as they do in the exit polls, it looks very much like the picture that we've seen in the smaller states. Hillary Clinton has won in the states where she's won because she has strong support from women, she has strong support from working class families, and she has strong support from Latinos and from Asian Americans. The support from Latinos and Asian Americans, I think, did her really well in California. That probably explains why she's able to turn back Barack Obama's momentum there. In terms of Barack Obama's support, the big important thing for him tonight was that he managed to really increase his share of the white vote. That had been something commentators had wondered about, but he's now shown that he can get 40% of the white vote, even in a southern state like Georgia, and I think close to half of the white male vote in a state like California.
And what happened to John Edwards' votes?
It looks like they've moved towards Barack Obama, but I don't think that that's been decisive yet.
And Ewan McCaskill, you've been looking at the Republicans, and what's the key story from that side of the fence?
As Susie was saying, we thought that tonight the Democratic race would be indecisive, but at least we thought there'd be a result on the Republican side. We thought that John McCain, according to the polls, was a clear winner, seemed guaranteed he was going to take on the mantle of Republican nomination. Well, that hasn't happened. In fact, the races on the Republican side has become even more confused.
We'll come back to you both in the moment, but let's go to New York, where Ed Pilkington has been watching the results coming in on the East Coast. Ed, did Hillary Clinton do as well in New York as she'd expected?
Yeah, I mean, the advantage was always hers because it's her adopted home state. And in fact, she came out extremely well. She got 57% to Obama's 40. There had been a period about a week ago when Obama seemed to be closing in on her quite rapidly. And although no one thought he would take New York, it could have been closer than it was. So that, I think it's a pretty good result for her tonight.
It's the ideal inscribed on the base of the Statue of Liberty in this great city that has overlooked our harbor through wars and depression and the dark days of September 11th. The words we all know that give voice to America's embrace. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. A constant reminder that here in America, we face our challenges and we embrace all of our people. So today we say with one voice, give us the child who wants to learn. Give us the people in need of work. Give us the veterans who need our care. We say, give us this economy to rebuild and this war to end. Give us this nation to heal, this world to lead, this moment to seize. I know we're ready. Thank you all, and God bless you.
She addressed a pretty boisterous crowd in a midtown ballroom. And it was a kind of strangely flat speech, I thought, from her tonight. It was very much her ordinary stump speech in which she sort of ran through her policies, were she to get the keys to the White House. She paid lip service to the fact that this race is now most definitively not over. She talked about looking forward to the debate continuing with Obama over the next days and weeks. And she was notably, I thought, she held back from criticizing Obama. She made no comment about the previous sniping that has gone on between them, which was a contrast to his speech tonight, in which he repeated his now familiar refrain about her having authorized the invasion of Iraq and having given Bush the benefit of the doubt on Iran. So he was actually much more controversial with her, much more sort of hostile towards her than she was towards him tonight.
And Democrats have been voting across the northeast of America. How has Hillary Clinton done more broadly?
Tonight we saw the early results all coming from the northeast because of the time difference. And it gave perhaps a slightly skewed impression of the night. As the night's gone on, Obama's done very much better through the country going west and into the south. But to start with, in the northeast, it was really Hillary Clinton's night almost entirely. Obama only took Connecticut in the northeast, and she even took Massachusetts, where Teddy Kennedy and John Kerry, who are obviously very senior figures in the Democratic Party in Massachusetts, both came out in favor of Obama. But despite backing Obama, she still took Massachusetts.
Okay, Ed, thanks very much. That's the story in New York. But over in the West Coast, California was the coveted prize of the day for both parties, and Hillary Clinton has taken it for the Democrats. But Dan Glaister, in Los Angeles, Obama can take heart too, can't he?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably spin it whichever way you wanted to. You know, it's a good night because she won the headline contest. You know, she won California and comes away with X unknown number of delegates. And she got a larger share of the popular vote than Obama did. Now, of course, depending on the final numbers, Obama could easily equally say, well, we won, or we won the moral victory because, you know, even 2 weeks ago we were nowhere and we got relatively close. So, you know, I'm sure over the next few hours they'll all spin as much as they can and make as much out of it as they possibly can.
What were the factors in Hillary Clinton's win, Dan?
If you look at the exit polls we're getting now, it's pretty similar to what we were seeing, you know, 2 months ago. Hillary Clinton was very strong among women voters and very strong among Latino voters. So despite, you know, the greatest efforts he made, he had Oprah Winfrey here on Sunday, campaigning for him in Los Angeles. He had Ted Kennedy, who, you know, does have cachet and name recognition, all those things among the Latino community. He was here last week campaigning for Obama. But despite those efforts, the shift didn't come, or the shift came too late, because the other very important factor here, as in many other states, is early voters, postal voters. It's at least 40% and was probably higher this time.
On the Republican side, Dan, Mitt Romney had been making quite a play for California in recent days, hadn't he? Did that materialise?
Well, Mitt himself materialised late on Monday night in an airport hangar in Long Beach, but to little avail. No, he's it didn't happen for him here, and there are multiple factors. There's a deep concern about immigration. This is a border state, after all. There's a deep concern about undocumented migrants and illegal immigration. And, you know, John McCain comes from a neighbouring state, and there he's been a fairly liberal voice on that, at least as far as conservative Republicans go, he's been liberal. So, you know, Mitt Romney was looking to exploit that. There's a strong religious base in here in you know, parts of California, and, you know, it's not all the image that one has of Southern Californians. You know, the further inland you go, typically the more conservative it becomes. But it didn't happen for Romney, and his final stand in the West was, you know, a damp squib.
So John McCain takes California, and that's very important because of the number of delegates that California sends to the conventions.
It's winner-take-all among the Republicans, so it's 170 for John McCain, whereas for the Democrats, in common with, you know, the whole of the country, it's more convoluted than a Labour Party leadership election, frankly. Ultimately, we'll probably see a fairly even split of California's 370 Democratic delegates between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
Well, last night was a big night for the media as well as for the candidates. US TV networks ditched their primetime schedules to accommodate coverage, and newspapers held their printing presses in an attempt to include as many results in today's papers as possible. But another group taking part in this media fest are the bloggers. Francesca Panetta went to the Townhouse Tavern in Washington, D.C., which was hosting a bloggers' party.
Ellie Savino, I'm a resident in Washington, D.C., and tonight we organized our political porn party. We're huge political geeks, and a lot of our good friends and former colleagues are away working on all these campaigns, and for those of us that are stuck here in the city, it's a way for us to enjoy in all the absurdity that's going on right now.
And next to us, we've got a table full of beer and a laptop.
Well, I brought my laptop because actually it's the best way to get results. If you notice, all of the cable channels are probably, you know, 5 to 10 minutes behind. So for those of us who are really, really impatient, a broadband wireless card is really the best way to go.
So what are you doing here today?
Well, this is just one of the best places to be as far as kind of getting a sense for what is actually happening and not just what the news channels say.
So can you tell me some of the things that you've been hearing, some of the talk that's been going on here in this bar?
Everyone is nervous. The polls are going both ways, depending on who's doing the polls, and I think people are pretty anxious about the results.
And can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
My name is Jake Brewer. I work actually for a nonprofit organization called idealist.org, but I blog for the Huffington Post.
Are you going to be blogging tonight?
I'll probably blog in the morning.
And you're a blogger too. Tell me a little bit about your work.
Well, my name is Juan Cole. I maintain the blog Informed Comment. I also teach history at the University of Michigan.
And tell me a little bit about what you've been talking about tonight with all these people.
Well, they've been making observations about the various dynamics in the states. We had a young man who's from Georgia and was explaining why he thought that Obama did actually particularly well among whites in Georgia.
And will you be blogging when you get back to your house, your home, your hotel tonight?
I will make an entry. It will be too soon to know definitive results.
Is that a bit frustrating for you?
Yes. The way the blog cycle works, in my view, is a lot of people check blogs before they go to work or when they first get to work, don't tell their bosses, and they are themselves often bloggers, and they will make hyperlinks to the articles that are already up, and then those will show up at the sites that measure incoming links like technorati.com. So if you don't have a blog entry up sort of by 6:30 a.m. or so, you miss that very important early morning cycle. So it is very frustrating for bloggers that the California results won't be in time to put them up this evening.
the bloggers of America there. And Suzanne Goldenberg, back in our Washington office, the media has played a big role as ever in this campaign, haven't they? But early on, the polls were all over the place and journalists had a lot of egg on their faces. Did everyone learn their lessons on Super Tuesday?
Well, I think this time the media and the pollsters seem to have got it right. The expectation was that it would be a very tight contest on the Democratic side, that nothing would be decided. And I think that's the position we're now in. On the Republican side, I think Mike Huckabee performed better than we expected, better than the polls led us to believe. And that's why we now have this confusion in the Republican race.
Okay, thanks, Suzanne. Well, votes were not just being cast in America. The Democratic Party holds primaries for expats around the world. Duncan Campbell reports now from a venue in West London, where Americans living in Britain had turned up to vote.
Well, we're in the Porchester Hall, and it could be anywhere in the middle of America. There's one side of the room is dedicated to Barack Obama, with lots of signs ranging from grannies for Obama onwards. And in the other corner of the hall, with lots of people gathering, lots of red, white and blue balloons are big signs for Hillary.
Hey, my name's Ellen McCoy and I'm here with Democrats Abroad. I'm supporting Hillary Clinton. Well, we have a nice big poster on the wall with Hillary's name and some stars on it and some other posters around. We had a poster party last week to make all this stuff and we have balloons. And tonight I expect it'll be mostly people who live in London. Obviously, they emanate from all over the states. But mostly we expect people from London here tonight.
This is the Barack Obama station stop, Station Obama. So you're on the tube, you're getting off here. Karen Robinson, and I'm a grassroots organizer for Barack Obama UK. We're voting as the 51st state of the U.S. of the United States of America, and I am here to get people out to cast that ballot for Barack Obama because we feel he is the candidate who certainly best represents the views of Americans living abroad. He has an extremely sophisticated and intelligent foreign policy and, you know, a better understanding of the rest of the world.
I'm standing here in a very crowded and excited Porchester Hall with Daniel Rivkin, who's the spokesperson for Democrats Abroad UK. There seems to be an enormous amount of activity.
There's a lot of activity because we're preparing for a big night. Democrats Abroad United Kingdom has doubled in size in the past 3.5 weeks with online registrations. There's an enormous enthusiasm for this primary and for this election that reflects abroad what's happening in the United States, where record numbers of Democrats are showing up for the primaries and the caucuses.
And what sort of a part do Democrats Abroad have to play in the final decision of choosing a candidate?
Well, this year it's been acknowledged that Democrats Abroad have a much larger role than perhaps has been given in the past. We've had Bill Clinton in London twice. We've had Michelle Obama over here. Dennis Kucinich was over here when he was running. Rudy Giuliani on the Republican side to fundraise. So it's been seen as a more important place to come and fundraise.
Well, back in the United States, the picture's looking pretty complicated, I have to say. The editor of Guardian America, Michael Tomasky, is on the line now. Michael, did Super Tuesday live up to the name?
Oh, it sure did for me. When two Democratic candidates, powerhouse candidates who have been fighting tooth and nail, emerge from a night when 22 states are voting in a virtual dead heat, it really lives up to the billing. And on the Republican side, when a candidate who had been relegated to also-ran status, Mike Huckabee, comes out of nowhere and wins 5 states and is suddenly back in the hunt, sort of, then it lives up to billing on that side, too. So this was... we've been waiting a long time for this day, and it was worth the wait.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama must be disappointed that it wasn't more decisive.
You could say that they're both disappointed. You could also say that they're both relieved. I think that the Clinton campaign had gotten very nervous in the last couple of days based on some polls that were coming out that turned out to be erroneous, showing that Obama had leads in certain states that he did not end up winning and, in fact, did not end up performing all that well in. Notably, I'm thinking of Massachusetts and California. So there were signs that Obama was really going to be riding the crest of a tidal wave here, which didn't quite happen. And for Obama, I think he can also be relieved in that earlier in the night, around 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30, when it came clear that tidal wave wasn't going to happen, I'm sure he was starting to sweat bullets, But then as the night wore on, he picked up a lot of states, and crucially, most crucially, Missouri. So he was able to breathe a sigh of relief. So, yes, they can both be disappointed, but they can both be quite happy with the number of delegates they won and with the fact that they're positioned to go forward, really both claiming victory.
And in the red corner, surely John McCain must have felt that he should have had it in the bag by now. It's not quite there yet, is it?
No, it isn't quite there. Now, he's doing well on the delegate count because the Republican delegate counts usually are winner-take-all, which is to say if you win a state, you get all the delegates in that state. So McCain having won New York, Illinois, California, some big states tonight, won a lot of delegates. So he is comfortably ahead in the delegate count, and we have reason to think he should remain that way. But he didn't finish things off tonight. And tonight demonstrated very clearly that he can't close the deal in the South. That is to say, he can't close the deal where voters tend to be more socially conservative. They still don't quite trust him. Some of the criticisms of McCain, the invective hurled at McCain by radio host Rush Limbaugh and others like that, has obviously taken some toll. So he was hoping that he would be able to celebrate, you know, pop the champagne cork tonight. He can't quite yet.
Huckabee could make it for him, though, couldn't he? Do you foresee a Huckabee-McCain joint ticket?
Well, Huckabee's performance tonight, I would think, puts a lot of pressure on McCain to give Huckabee serious consideration as his running mate. I think that's absolutely right. And I think that's a liability for McCain.
So what are the dates for our diary now? Will the Democratic race run right to the convention?
I still wouldn't quite bet on the convention. There are a lot of states and major states just in the next few weeks. Louisiana at the end of this week. Next Tuesday, Maryland and Virginia. These are all large states with substantial chunks of delegates. March 4th, Ohio and Texas, two very large and important states. It could well be that by March 5th, one or the other has taken a demonstrable lead. But, you know, this season has taught us not to make predictions. So we're looking at the Indiana primary of May, whatever.
I guess the only prediction we can make, finally, Mike, is that plenty more money needs to be spent yet.
Plenty more does. You know, it's not something to be proud of necessarily, the millions and millions of dollars that get pumped into these things. But they don't seem to be having trouble raising it, particularly Barack Obama, and that could be a key advantage for him in the remainder of this month.
Okay, thanks, Mike. Back to Washington finally, and to Ewan McCaskill first. What will the Republican grandees be thinking, Ewan, when they wake up in the morning? Is it the end of the road for the neocons and the religious right?
They're still a force in the party, and what they'll be doing is they'll think, they'll probably sort of shrug and say, well, it's probably going to have to be McCain. And once we find out who the Democrat nominee is going to be, we will get behind them and put all the resources to stop either Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama getting into the White House. But although they shrug, they'll also be having a look around and saying, is there any possibility, is there anyone out there that we haven't thought about who might yet come into the race? I mean, there's talk about Mike Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, but he wouldn't suit the social conservatives. I mean, he's, as far as they're concerned, he's not much better than McCain. But they'll be scouting about, seeing if there's anybody, even at this late date, who might come into the race.
And Suzanne Goldenberg, you know, whoever ultimately wins, does it seem to you that America is ready to give liberalism another chance?
I think so. I mean, look, we've got a situation that really favors the Democrats. The Democrats are turning out in record numbers for all these elections. There are more people voted for Barack Obama or cast their votes for Hillary Clinton than the total of votes cast in the Republican race. The Democratic electorate is really on the move, and it's energized. And let's face it, the situation favors the Democrats. There's a war on in Iraq. The economy is in big trouble. These are all issues that play well to Democrats. And right now, you've got Republicans who can't seem to agree on a leader. So I think whoever gets the Democratic nomination is going to be in really fine shape.
Suzanne Goldenberg, Ewan McCaskill, thanks very much. That's it for this special Super Tuesday edition of News Desk. We're back later today for more analysis from the US and a run through some of the day's other stories. The producers were Tim Mabey and Phil Maynard in London and Francesca Panetta in Washington. I'm Matt Wells. Goodbye.
Guardian Unlimited.